I'll tell you what, I'm going to admit just something starting off right now with you guys. Like, I'm a tightwad. Is anybody else, you guys help me out, anybody else just cheap? My kids call me cheap. I say it's frugal. There is a difference. There is a difference. We go to a restaurant. I'm going to tell you right now, we go to a restaurant, we're getting waters, okay? And you say, why? Because that glass of pop or tea that you're getting is going to be $3.25 or $3.65, in some place even more than that. Times that times a family of five, and that's how much we used to years ago pay for our entire dinner right there. Things have changed so much. If I go to JCPenney to buy me a new sports jacket or something like that, I go around all the new and latest and greatest clothes, and I go through the clearance racks. You know why? Because everything that's on the latest and greatest racks will eventually be on the clearance racks, okay? I might be about 10 months behind on the deal or whatever is the new look, but I will get it for 50% off. That's what I'm going to get. That's how I work. That's how I operate. And my kids will testify to this. They know this about me. When we would go on vacation, there's a scam out there that I would play the scam. I don't want to say rip off the scam because that sounds bad for a pastor to say. I would go through timeshare presentations, say no to the timeshare presentation, but cash in what they offer me. Anybody else do that? You guys online, just put it in the chat. You guys help me out here, okay? But I would have, my kids knew that I would do that. You're walking through, we're tight on a budget, and they would hold up the sign or hit you on the entrance to the whatever place that you're going and say, hey, would you like free tickets? And we're also right now offering $100 cash. I'm like, the tightwad in me is like, yes, you know, like, what do I have to do? We'd have to get up early in the morning and go to the timeshare presentation and go through the whole ordeal and all that kind of stuff. And I was so, I couldn't say no to the free stuff. I mean, like, especially when you're in a budget. I remember going through it, and I had a strategy, because if they tell you it's a 90-minute presentation, did you know that if they go 92 minutes, you can get up and go cash in on your whatever they promised to give you? So I would tell the kids, 90 minutes, I promise you, 90 minutes, we're out of here. And so I remember this one guy, oh man, he made me so mad. He walks over to the thing and he says, well, let me get my manager before you guys leave, because I already gave the hard no, okay? I'm not a chance that I'm doing this. And the manager comes over and he sits down, you know, the slick talker guys. And he sits down and he goes, let me ask you, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. So you believe in being a good steward with your money, right? And I said, yeah. And he drew a toilet on the piece of paper, and he said, all the money that God blesses you with, you throw it down the toilet if you don't go with us with this deal. I'm like, I'm just kidding. I was like, let me show you, pastor. You're like, I'm kidding. Some of the guests in here today are like, man, this guy is. All right. Now I have to confess something. One day I got a timeshare. I did it. I'm telling you, I swore on my life I would never do this. And we sit down at the table and we go through the ordeal. We were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. It was a resort they were building in Gatlinburg. And the guy was like, here's it's way under market value. You're going to have this for the rest of your life. You're going to actually deed this property to your kids, and they're going to go on vacations long after you're dead and do it in remembrance of their dad and all this. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? There's nothing to deed to your kids but a debt if you do it. Anyways, okay. So I ended up getting this, and they threw into the deal, because me and Jenny were about to have our 10-year anniversary, and they threw into the deal enough points that we could do this anniversary trip and all this. And come to find out, the points never were the value what they said. We could never book our vacation. They sold it to another company. They quadrupled the maintenance fees on it. We had struggle going on other vacations because we had that vacation to pay for that we couldn't go on to because we didn't have enough points. And it was really tough. So at the end of it, we ended up paying, no joke, we paid a company to sell it that found a deal that somebody would take it for free if I paid the maintenance fees on it ahead of time. So I paid to give it away. Wow. It's horrible. I know this seems like a far stretch, but I'm telling you right now, I feel like sometimes when we talk about the Christian life, we almost present it like a timeshare presentation. I've seen this on TV. I've seen this with evangelists. I've seen it. It's like, let me tell you, if you have Jesus, you won't have problems. And I had a guy watch on TV. You've seen the clips of him bragging about, I've never been sick. I've never been sick. He is a liar, okay? And the only person that's never been sick is Jesus. I like, you'll never have financial problems, and bragging about the house and the finances and all these other things. It's I'm not saying that they oversell. I'm not trying to use those terms, but I'm saying they misrepresent the gospel. Okay, I know that Jesus supplies your needs and he's faithful and all this, but nowhere did the Bible say you give or you're obedient to God and you'd have a fat bank account. Nowhere. It's not Bible. Job loved God and Job struggled with problems. I mean, you know the story of Job. You just mentioned it. You associate it with the problems that he had. Paul loved God. He served God faithful. He was shipwrecked, pulled out of the city, beat half to death. I could go on and on about people in the Bible that have gone through these things. The Bible never says that we won't have problems. Jesus was friends with Lazarus. Lazarus got sick. Lazarus died. It's, the Bible never said, follow me and you'll never have problems again. But I do want to show you what the Bible does say you'll have. And what I want to show you what the Bible says that you'll have in 1 John. Take your Bibles to 1 John. And far exceeds any vacation package or anything like that that you would have. Let me tell you the truth. John is the apostle of Jesus Christ. John is different than the other three gospels. He's preaching the love of God, and he just, it's powerful. It's, you have 44 times in the book of 1 John that he mentions the love of God, and we talked about this is what love is. Love is so much different, and I'm going to show you another comparison. This time it's not going to be God, our love versus God's love, but 1 John brings it to another level. And he's talking about this is the Christian life. He's excited about it because John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, walked with Jesus. Literally, it's not a matter of a theory. Let me just read. This is how he said it. That which we, from the beginning, that's which we have heard, and that's which we have seen with our eyes. And I know I read this before, but it's so powerful. He just like, he said, guys, I'm not giving you a theory. God was made flesh, dwelt among us. I saw him. We have looked upon him, and our hands have handled the word of life. The very word that we studied in the Old Testament became flesh, and we walked with Jesus. For the life was manifested. We have seen it. He said, I'm telling you, I bear witness. I show unto you eternal life, and that which was from the Father and manifested unto us. He said, Jesus came. He said, it was all God. He was man, but he was God. And he said, I experienced, I walked, I felt his love. I heard his words. I saw his glory. It's not a myth. It's not from a distance. I saw it for myself. He said, John, what does this mean? John, what are you trying to say? What how did that change you? And he said, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. That we may also have. He said, it's time for us to be pulled in on this. He said, I'm telling you, it's not just the apostle. It's not just the gospels. He said, it rolls into us. And that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you get what he's saying? He pulls it in. And I know that we say this all the time, that it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. John is preaching the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. He begins to talk about, he said, I want you to know that. He said, I want you to have this fellowship with us. And the word fellowship is a powerful word. There's a reason that we call our church Fellowship Baptist Church. And we actually made a video about this a while back of why our logo is a heart, and it's all the pieces coming together. And it's, we're different pieces, but we form the body of Christ. And the Bible says that the word fellowship means a connection, a community. It means a partnership. It means to be closely connected to something. So you guys have to understand, for us as a church, and we say we're part of Fellowship Baptist Church, that doesn't mean we just gather in a building and we're close together because we're in the fellowship hall right now. That fellowship or that connection comes because we serve the same God, we're going to the same heaven, we have the same spirit, we're on the same mission, we bear each other's burdens, we care for one another in this way. And he said, I know this, but he said, let me tell you, it's so awesome. As he said, this fellowship that we have is with Jesus Christ and the Father. We have communion, connection, we walk, we share life with God. That is what a Christian is. It's part of our daily life. You can imagine if you're talking to John and saying, John, okay, so you're telling me that he is God in the flesh and he is perfect and flawless. Do you ever mess up? John would be like, oh, man, we all messed up all the time. He goes, man, I could tell you stories. Peter mainly, but we all have stories. What did he do? He pulled us closer to him. He taught us to forgive. Man, I could tell you the story about Peter denying Jesus after he told him he would do it. And Peter felt so bad that he ran away and started fishing again. It's like, man, what did Jesus do? Man, he showed up on the shoreline and starts yelling out to him. Made him breakfast, sat him down, and he said, I'm not done with you. That's the fellowship that we have with the Father. That's the communion that we have. And he goes on and says, he said, I declare unto you in 1 John 1:3 that ye also may have fellowship with us. He said, it's not just us with Jesus. He said, I'm telling you now, when Jesus left, it continued. He said, that spirit that he said that we would have began to work in all of our lives. Man, when Peter messed up, he pulled us back together. And he said, let me tell you the story of Acts chapter 2. We got together, we prayed, and God blessed us. We got up and preached, and thousands of people were saved, like, through you guys. Man, I know it doesn't sound like much, but man, let me tell you, the work that God did in our life totally and radically changed everything. The greatest blessing that we have in life, the greatest fulfillment that you have in life, is sitting in the room with you right now. It is not possessions. It is not a bigger house or a fancy car. I know in our mind we think that, and don't get me wrong, money helps. Can I get an amen right there? Money helps. But it's not everything. You know, with everything that's going through the last 2.5 years, I said 1,000 times, if they had a treatment somewhere else, I would sell every car, I'd walk for the rest of my life, and I'd live in a tent if it meant that my family could stay together. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're not there yet, but when you get to that point, you understand true blessing and fellowship of God, the things that you have in life doesn't come from money and possessions. And when the relationship is off between you and your spouse, or between you and your kids, or between you and your brothers in Christ, there is no joy. The greatest blessing that we have in my life is that I'm right with God and that I'm right with other people. And that joy is indescribable compared to anything else that we could have. Let me illustrate. Just watch the tabloids about and the headlines of what comes out. About how all the celebrities, that they have $1 million, $2 million, $5 million wedding, and they're divorced in 5 years, 3 years. Yep. That they own an island, and they have this private jet, and they all this other stuff, and that yet you to hear about how they're struggling with drug and alcohol. What is gravitating them to that? Because the stuff and the possessions in your life do not satisfy like the satisfaction that Jesus brings us. Let me show you this. He says in this, in verse 4, in these things write we unto you. He said, I'm gonna tell you guys this fellowship, man, that we had, this interaction, this love, this life change that we had. He said, I want you to get it. I want you to know this for yourself. He said, listen, that your joy may be full. That's it. I just gave you the secret to life. I just gave you that this is it. The joy that he's talking about is a calm delight. It's a satisfaction. It's a fulfillment. That's why he said that the satisfaction of what really matters in life, that it might be full. The word full literally means to cram. It means to have everything that you need. It actually says to satisfy. So I can literally say what John is saying in this passage. He said, I'm going to tell you what this fellowship, this unity, this life that God is going to give you. He said, I'm going to promise you right now, it really, really, truly satisfies. You know what satisfaction is? It's like, have you ever been really, really, really hungry before? And you're like, we say the words in America, I'm starving to death. We're never starving to death. I promise you that. Not in America. But then you go somewhere and you overeat and you're just like, I could not eat one more thing, especially if you go to a buffet, okay? It's like, I'm just tapped out. I had a great need and I had a great craving and something was missing in my life, but I'm at a level that I am completely satisfied. That's exactly what this love of God does. He said, I'm going to teach it to you. And I'm going to tell you that there's a life to live that truly satisfies the deepest need that you have in your life. It is the joy that God puts into our life. It's your family connection. It's being right with God and right with others. This is love. And when you have it, it changes your perspective so much that love that you have, that satisfaction and connection that you have, he said in John, he says, there's no greater love than this. He said, let me tell you, this is the epitome. There's no greater love than this when a man lays down his life for his friends. Literally, that I found such value in relationships that I'll die to keep it. I would give my life up for somebody else because I've found out what truly satisfies in life. All right, then we get into this. Something is off in most of our lives. Because I say that, and you're almost like, oh my goodness, he's another timeshare presentation. It's like, he doesn't know my wife. He doesn't know my kids. It's like, my joy might be full. Like I'm fed up, but not with joy, okay? I'm just like, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm worn out. There's so many Christians that go through life and it's like, it's not working. Something, I know what you say and I know what John says and I know what the passages say, but it doesn't line up in my life. It doesn't, that's not the outcome of it. I remember it was during COVID. It was every time it would rain, it was 2020. Every time that it would rain, my gutter would overflow. I mean, every single time, it was just the one in the front. And I got so frustrated. So I was, you know, I got a ladder and I would actually get the ladder out when it's raining so I could figure out what's plugging up. There was nothing in the gutter, nothing in the downspout. The leaf guard was clear, all that other stuff. But it was running over so much that it was ruining the stuff inside my house. It was rolling into my garage and going down and then I had black spots all over. You know, that's not good when it's like that. So I remember I got a hose and I went down to the street and I tried to snake it, trying to unplug anything that would be there. I couldn't find anything coming out. I'm like, man, something's wrong. I know how it should work, but it's not work. But I knew that something was off. So one day I got up and I was like that crazy neighbor. Okay, I came out with a pickaxe and I'm just walking through the yard. And I literally just started going into the ground. I'm like, I'm going to dig this up until I found this. And I did. I'm going to walk you guys through this. I take pictures of everything. Like, everything one day will be a sermon illustration. This was 4 years ago. And so I'm digging this up. And as I'm going through this and digging this up, I realize that where it went underneath, there was a tree. And the tree literally grew right through the pipe. It went right through everything. There's the tree. There's the trench that I had. And it was going through. And that's all the roots that I dug out of there to figure that out. It did work right. But something had it invaded what I put in there, causing it not to work right. But I couldn't see it because it was out of sight. Let me tell you, in our Christian life, everything that God said will work, will work. Can I get an amen right there? God does not fail. God does not oversell. God does not cheat or lie you or lie to you. He never will. That is not how God works. So I need to just tell you, if God says his ways work, If God said that he blesses for certain ways, I promise you, God blesses for doing those certain things. If God promised you that your joy can be full, I promise you that your joy can be full. God would not say that without it being true. So what is the problem? If our relationships are not right, then something is off. And John exposes this. He said, this is a reason, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And you're thinking, okay, I get that. There's contrast there. So what does that mean? If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. He says, but if we walk in the light, this is how it does work. This is how fulfillment comes. This is when the love of God is working in your life. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I love this visual. I love the simplicity of this. So last time when we started this series, when we were talking about what is love and we define it through 1 John 4, and 1 John 1, let's take this a little deeper, okay? This is the same illustration, but John again begins to say, this is who God is. God is light. So let me just walk through and show you this. Oh, I put them on the wrong side. So God is light. Okay, this side, over here. God is light. So he's literally talking about that Jesus is the light. And you say, what does that mean? Do you realize that if we were to turn off all the lights in here and turn them back on, what the Bible is saying is that there's a contrast. That's what John is teaching right here, that there is a contrast, that there is two sides. You can put it, when he says walk in the light, he's saying that there's two ways to live. He says, if, the word if is used over and over. Everything that he was about to say, he used the word if. And literally means that there's a choice. So if you don't have the joy being fulfilled in your life, it is the choice of the way that you chose to walk. I'm not talking about being saved and lost. But I'm telling you, even when you're saved, you are torn between these two. But you know why? Because we live in this world. We live in the flesh. We battle sin. We have weaknesses. We have an enemy. We have a savior. We have all this. And we're caught between these two. But can we break this down? This all comes out of this passage, okay? Who is the light? Jesus is the light. He said, in 1 John, he said, I have come that you might have the truth. The truth is the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know why the Bible explains it as light? Because when you think, I don't know why my wife keeps yelling at me. I don't know why the kids don't respect me. I don't know why I can't get along with other people. And God says, come over here. Boom, the light comes on. Everybody talks about these lights being so bright because they're so low and they shine in our face. And everybody comes up here and says, but you know the power of light? It exposes everything. Do you know why it's so important that we go to church, why we hear the word of God, why we walk in the truth, why we walk in the Bible? Because you say, I don't know what's not working, but God will walk to your yard and say, it's right there. It's right there. That's not where you've allowed things to creep into your life. And until you get that out, it won't work. The light unveils the truth. Let me tell you the opposite. We know darkness, and the Bible talks about the prince and the power of the air. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 about the rulers of darkness of this world. Every time it talks about darkness, it refers to it as Satan because it's the opposite of light. What God tries to expose and say, this is why your marriage isn't working, Satan will say, you're fine. I don't see anything wrong. When you start saying the things that I don't see anything wrong with that, that's because you're walking in darkness. You don't even know what you're tripping over. You don't know why you keep falling on your face because you're walking in darkness. You know what Satan does? Is he uses lies. You know what God uses? God uses truth. The truth unveils it. The lie is this. It's either the lies we tell or the lies we believe. The lies that we believe is, I'm fine. It's her fault. It's his fault. It's the church's fault. It's my kids. It's the way that I was raised. I don't see it that way. It's lies. Then we battle the flesh. Do you realize that Bible says that I know that within me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. My flesh will I have with all my, always. I struggle with my flesh. But then we have the Spirit of God. You know what the Spirit of God does? It brings conviction. I promise you guys know this illustration. Even this morning, some of you were battling. Your flesh said, hit the alarm and sleep in. We can sit on the couch, eat Cheerios. Some of you guys are doing that right now. Right now, you're looking at me. You're on your couch right now. You're eating Cheerios because you hit your snooze alarm too many times. I see you. Okay. But then you get too late. You're just like, we'll just stay home. But you miss out. You get the truth by being online, but you miss out on the fellowship. Hey, we need this. I don't know, things are tight right now. I hope you all wore deodorant. Things are tight right now in this tiny room right now. But I tell you, the thing that we get is fellowship. The reason why we get excited about the business meeting, we get to fellowship around the things that God is doing with this. But the Spirit of God will always fight and pull you away from doing the works of the flesh. Always. Because you're always going to battle with it. If you do nothing to walk in the Spirit, the natural tendency is to walk in the flesh. When the Bible says, and I love this verse in here, and he says, and the light was the life of men. It says that in John. And I don't have time to get it. That's why we're teaching through this. That light, the love, the thing, the characteristics that God brings totally transform you. The same way that God is light, God is love. So if God is truth and he unveils the things that are wrong, God is also light and love, which literally means he transforms you from the inside out, totally changes you. The love of God is love and patience and temperance and mercy and grace and all those things that flow out of there, which is what your relationship needs, but your flesh will bring death and hate. I'm fine. You're the problem. You keep getting on my nerves. I'll leave you. I'm done with you. I'll leave the church. I'll leave. That's what it is. It's just filled with hate. Fulfilled, unfulfilled, that your joy might be full. So let's break this down. It's a comparison, and we battle with all these things. God is doing this because the Christian life should be different. I don't care the life that you came out of. We're talking black and white, day and night. Literally, that is the illustration that he's saying. That when you got saved and you say, well, I grew up so hard and my dad this and I heard this all my... Do you understand when the Bible says that when you got saved and we do the visual of baptism, he says, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of what? Life. Newness of life. Stop with the lies. Stop living in your flesh and saying, I can't change when God gives life through his love. For anybody in here to say that I can't change is a lie of the devil. You've been tricked by the devil. It is not true. This is how God's love changes us, okay? And this is it. Verse 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. We say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is how he does it, okay? Number one, by walking in the light. God changes us through his love when we walk in the light. Let's explain that. John used the word walk because he walked with Jesus. So when he got in here and he didn't just say run to the light or live in the light, he said we need to walk in the light. You know why he said walk? Because when he did the ministry that God called him to do, it was, let's go to this next city. Let's stop here and eat. Let's help these people. Let's go to this house. Let's minister. Let's stop and teach. Let's worship together. Let's eat this corn. They literally went through life together. You have to understand that a lot of people struggle with this because they don't understand that the life that God has called us to is a way of life, not a Sunday 10, 11, 12, whatever time that we're here. It's a way of life. It is a walk that we have with God. It's the walk that we have with others. But I'll tell you over here, it will be, well, I go to church on Sunday. It's not a Sunday thing. Never, God never said that walking in the light is a matter of popping into a building. And I'll explain that even as we get into this. The question is, how are you living? Are you fulfilled in life? Because fulfillment comes over here and you say, I'm living over here. Okay, all right. I'm not going to debate you. I don't know your heart. So let's just have God break it down for us. He literally says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if you are walking with Jesus and you're walking in truth and you're living righteously and you're not living in sin and you're not living in habits and you're not saying that we don't struggle, we'll get to that in a minute, then this is how we know. This is how we know. Question number one, or test number one, are you in fellowship with those in your life? Because he says, if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. This book hits it so hard, you just say, wow, you're just taking one verse. No, he later in John, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth not. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He goes into this so much to illustrate that when you, it's not that everything clicks and it's not that everything is perfect. And I'm not saying when you're walking with God, you'll never have an issue or argue with your wife. I promise you, some of you love Jesus and you argued with your wife this morning. And you know what I'm talking about. It's always going to be a struggle. It's not an easy thing. But we're talking about a lifestyle of this. When there's fighting and division and constant talking of divorce and there's backstabbing and family drama, that's not this. It's not. And if I was to ask your spouse, like, how is your fellowship with your at home? Or if I was to ask your kids and just say, my mom, she gets mad. She's all cool when we get to church. But when she gets home, she'll cuss us out in a heartbeat. Well, that is sin. Where are you walking? What's your lifestyle? I'm not saying I slipped up and I said something. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the habits that we have and the lifestyle that we live, it's not right. when things aren't right and you're harboring bitterness towards people in church or people in your life group or people in your family, that's sin. It's not light. When you have that sin in your life, there's going to be conflict in there. You're going to get around them. What's wrong? Nothing. You're not talking about, I know things are right. You're lying. You're not walking in the light. You're walking in darkness. So the question is, if you have sin in your life, it ruins the fellowship between you and God. But a lot of times we don't want to confront it because we want to say that it's someone else's problems. And the truth of the matter is, if you have this in your life, that means that this between you and God is not right. And the thing is, the love that we have to show for other people is not only, it comes from God and it comes through God to us. It's not us. You don't have the ability to turn the other cheek like you should when it comes to your family. You don't have the ability. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But if when you're constantly quenching the Spirit, then you're walking in darkness. You can't love your family with God's love outside of being in fellowship with God. You can't. Number two, let me ask you this question. We're asking, are you walking in the light? Is this your way of life? Number two, are you living as a hypocrite? Now, we know the word hypocrite well. The word hypocrite means to claim one thing and do another. You guys know what I'm talking about? The world loves throwing out the word hypocrite with us. It's like, we ever mess up, it's like, you're a hypocrite. They know that word. The Bible says in verse 6, if we say, listen, what does that mean? If I'm going to say, hey, I have fellowship with God, man, let me tell you, I'm all good. I don't have problems. If we say that we have fellowship with him and then walk in darkness, or we live in lies, or we live in sin, or we're constantly led by our flesh, we lie. And the truth is not in us. You can't walk with God and live in sin at the same time. I'm not saying that you don't walk with God and battle sin, because if you're flesh, you're always going to battle with sin. But I'm talking about living in sin. We can pretend, we can put on a show, but when we're constantly filled with anger and there's no patience and no self-control, something's wrong. We're claiming, if a pastor, a friend, or came up to you and said, how you doing? Dude, I'm doing great. It's like, well, then these things shouldn't be evident in your life. Let me tell you, when the Bible talks about sin, he's talking about anything that goes against God. And I know the world that we live in today, it's like, well, I don't see it that way. Your vote doesn't count. The Word of God is our final authority. He is your creator. He is your God. He is your Savior. He's not your buddy that you can tell off and do what you want. So one of the problems that we live in our culture, or have in our culture today, is I'll do what I want. And I don't see it that way. And we shake our fists at God. You don't tell God what to do. And as we adapt to sinful culture in the world around us, and we have sinful activities that we pull into our life and say, I don't see anything wrong with it. God says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'll tell you what, I know you wouldn't, and people say this to me all the time, like, Pastor, I know you wouldn't like to hear this. I'm not your God, I'm not your judge. I don't want to hear it, but I mean, that doesn't mean you're not a fitting, it's not me you have to deal with. I was like, man, I told so-and-so off. I gave him a piece of my mind. Probably shouldn't do that. You don't have much to waste. Hold it to yourself. It's anytime you're constantly cussing people out and road rage and all that others, that's the works of the flesh. Let me tell you a thing. The Bible, not me, but God, your authority, walking in the light, God says sex out of marriage is sin. Actually, there's a word for it. It's called fornication. And if you do it when you're married, it's called adultery. And and today it's like, I literally had a lady call me one time. I was actually in Starbucks in Canal Winters. I remember exactly where I was. I remember getting the phone call and things, and this lady called me up, and they were visiting our church. She asked me if she could call me sometime and things like that. Oh, no joke. And she said, nah, I just can't tell you right now. I do this, 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 and this. And she just laid it out. I'm like, okay. Like, and she said to me, I am not exaggerating this one bit. She says, I just need to know, if I go to your church, you're not going to be the type of pastor that gets on all these little issues and makes me feel bad every time I come to church. And I was like, we're probably not the church you want, because I don't get on issues. God does. And if we're going to be a gospel-preaching church, I preach what he says, not how I feel. And that's when the Bible talks about, in the last days, there will be itching ears. Tell me what makes me feel good, because we don't want to be in conviction. Let me tell you, if I don't tell you what the Bible says, then we live in sin and we bring death to our relationships. And then we tell God, I don't know why I don't feel fulfilled. Oh, get over it. It's you. Stop blaming God. It's not God that's dropping the ball. It's us that's dropping the ball. Watch this. As he says this in 1 John 2:3. So this is the next chapter, but same message. And hereby we know that we know him. You say, I love God. I know him. I worship him, all right? If we keep his commandments. That's it. He saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Man, if I said that to somebody, man, they'd be like, I'm not going back to that church again. But when God says it, he has the authority to say that. And the truth is not in him, literally meaning you're not walking or fellowship with God at the time. He says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Literally works in abundance and changes. Hereby we know that we are in him. Fulfillment in life comes from obeying God's word. That's how it works. And he says this. He said this. Let me show you. 1 John 5:2. Jump forward a couple more chapters. By this we know that we love the children of God. Talking about the fellowship of us this way. When we love God in what? Keep his commandments. Do you know why? Because this teaches the truth of walking in the light, teaches me what's wrong, but teaches me how to love my wife and how to love my kids and how to love you. If I'm walking in my flesh, I'm going to do the things where I'm going to click unfriend and block, and I'll give him a piece of my mind, and I'll just get out of that life group, and I just won't go to church, and when I come, I'll sit on the other side. It's division. It's not of God. If sin does not bother you, something is wrong. If sin does not bother you, something is off. Because walking in the light literally means walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will never let you live that lifestyle and be okay with it. Never. And I say that because I know that Satan is a liar. As long as he's a liar, he'll deceive. And I'm not saying just because you struggle that you're on your way to hell, but I'm telling you, if there's no conviction in your heart, you can literally live any way that you want, and there's nothing tugging at your heart to say that is wrong, something is missing. And I say that to you because I love you, because I know in the world that we live in, we get so caught up in the things that we do that make us feel good. We're doing things that are wrong and say, I need to get in church. And you do need to get in church. But more than getting in church, you need to get right with God. How God changes, number two, and I'm almost done. He teaches us to get things right with him. Get things right with God. I know this is a struggle. If you're reading this, I'm sorry, I'm okay. If you're reading this and you're saying, Pastor Tony, I do struggle with the lies that Satan says. And I struggle with my flesh. It's not a matter of us struggling with this. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God knew from the very beginning, even after we're saved, that we're going to be struggling in this thing. But he said, this is what we do. Number one, he says to do this is just be honest with God and confess. That is what we do. It's like, I am not right. Go to God and he unveils the truth. Now your spouse, your kids, your friends, your coworkers have already said, man, you got an anger problem. You got an attitude problem. You got this or whatever. Maybe your parents have said to that. But when God unveils the truth to you, you say, I want to get things right because I'm unfulfilled and I want to be fulfilled and I want the love and the life of God in my life working. Then this is what God says. This is simply this. If we confess, you know what confessing is? It's pushing against pride and saying, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Do you understand that as a relationship is the same thing as a relationship that we have with our spouse? That if you get into an argument and it's not that you're unmarried at that point, and I'm saying if you fall into sin, that you're not unsaved. I'm not saying that. But man, the fellowship's off. You cannot go to your spouse after having a big fight and then walk in the room and act like everything's okay. Now, you can act like it, but the tension, even your kids will be like, are you guys fighting? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Something is off. Something is not right. They know it. And you know what you do? The only way to get it right when we're walking that, 1 John 1:9 says, go to them and make it right. And he talks about if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Don't lie about it. Then it's time to make some godly choices, godly changes. Ephesians 5:11 says, if we have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, he uses the same term there again. And this could be life-changing for some of us. But rather reprove them. He literally goes into the idea that if you're walking in fellowship with things that are sin, and you know the habits. I don't even have to list the habits. But if you know that there are things and you're in fellowship with those things, literally that you walk every day with habits or lifestyle or thought processes or addictions or whatever that you know are not right and you keep justifying it, it's not. God says literally it's time to make some choices of those things that pull you back. Because if you don't, you can't walk in the light. But then the final thing is just watch God work. That's what John was saying through all this. He said, let me show you how God works. And I gave you this verse last week in 1 John 2:5. But whosoever keepeth his word, that's what we've been saying. Just do what's right. Do what's right. Walk in the light. In him verily is the love of God perfected. The word perfected literally means complete or accomplished. Changes your character. This will be a struggle to the day we die. You're going to struggle with your flesh. Satan's going to be setting traps. You're going to be pulled to darkness. This world is darkness. That's why God says, be the light of the world. That's not just because you wear a cool t-shirt that says, I love Jesus or whatever. It's how you walk. It's how you live your life. It's the actions. He says, if you can reprove these things and reject these things and say, God, I want to be right. He said, I'm going to do something. The love of God is perfected in our lives. Literally means he begins to change you. It's awesome when your kids say, Dad, you and Mommy don't fight like you used to. Well, God's working in us. Why is that? The humbleness that you had before, it was, I'm right, I'll do this, whatever. You just say, I'm not right. I said things to you the other day that I was wrong. I look at things that hurt you. I look at things that hurt God. I know this is wrong and I've been doing it anyways and I'm a liar. Because I said that I walked in fellowship, but I'm not. And the evidence of that is that we're out of fellowship. There's two things here. Number one, there's a lot of Christians that are living unfulfilled. Being honest, you're unfulfilled. And everything that we just read, John said, I'm writing this to you in verse 4, that your joy would be full. So stop playing games. Stop living this life to where you live however you want during the week, and then you run in Sunday and wave your hand at the song and get so excited and a little tear down the cheek because that song touched your heart. God wants it to change your life, not just emotionally touch you in the moment. And if you're over here, you have no desire to be over here, I'm going to ask you to check yourself. I don't know your heart. Don't sit there and say, you know my heart. I don't know your heart, but I do know this. If you are saved, there will be a change in your life. Life change comes from heart change. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. When I acknowledged that I was lost in darkness, and I saw this, I realized that that was wrong and this was right, and conviction led me to commit my life to Jesus Christ. But if you live this life of bouncing back and forth and it doesn't bother you, something's wrong. It wasn't until I was 16 years old of growing up in church that I realized that I played the game and never had peace in my life. And at age 16 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I could quote to you the Romans Road, the books of the Bible, forward and backwards with no exaggeration. I had the awards. I went to church. I never missed. Went to church camp every year. But I was on my way to hell because I had the knowledge of the truth, but I didn't have a heart change of accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.